With Kentucky's latest General Assembly session now in the record books, we've been speaking with some of the legislators who've decided to make it their last one. Among the four retiring Western Kentucky lawmakers is 2nd District Representative Fred Nessler. The Mayfield Democrat represents Graves County and part of McCracken, and I spoke with him about the political atmosphere in Frankfort and how he hopes to stay involved in his region's political life.
Was there anything in particular that helped you decide last December not to stand for re-election this year?
Well, probably not one particular thing, but I've been thinking for the last couple of years. You know, there comes a time in the election process that I have heard voters say before that, you know, so-and-so has done a good job, you know, but it doesn't hurt to have change. Mm. And so whenever I got to thinking about my about 20-year service, I thought, well, probably in the voters' eyes, it'd be an opportunity to for change. And so that was a big part in helping me decide.
Has not standing for re-election affected your approach, particularly in this last session, as contentious as it was at point?
No, although you mentioned the word contentious, yes, it was. In fact, more so than any of the sessions previously that I've been involved in. A couple areas especially is redistricting is always difficult because you have members that have represented a particular area for the past 10 years. To start moving boundaries out of friends and family and voters and people that have supported you and stuff to move is quite difficult, and I certainly understand that. I think my district was the only district in the state that was not moved at all. The other issue, budget sessions have always been tough, but in this session, money a little tighter, although revenues are up, and then there are just so many different agencies and programs that depend upon the funding, which comes from taxpayers in most cases, and to not allow them to have the money to do a good job in the way they see their area is difficult. And there's some legislators, they want certain things more so than others, and so it's tough. Mm.
I wonder, though, do you see the increasing contention in Frankfort as a symptom of people's changing perception of what state government should do?
No doubt about that. People are talking more about smaller government or less government. One of the things, though, that I think that people need to realize, and oftentimes I think it's maybe the legislative branch, maybe it's the media or whoever, to educate the populace of the needs that we have. A huge part of the revenues that we spend in our state goes towards education, 60 or 65%, whoever you talk to about it. I mean, with that being the case, is that an area where you want to start cutting? Most of the time, you'll get a no, and there's not really anything that I can think of that's more important to us. You have to be careful about where you point. And I just feel that it's important for us to be helpful to those individuals.
Over your 20 years in Frankfort, what is there that you feel particularly proud of? And is there anything that you'd like a mulligan for, a do-over?
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm making a statement of boasting, but let me boast just a second. You know, I've really taken pride in really honestly and truthfully being a voice of the people that elected me. My parents, both of them are deceased now since I was elected, was very helpful in helping me be elected, as well as other family and friends. But anyway, my mom and dad, in early on, right after, told me, said, "Fred, you know, whatever you do, don't forget where you come from, the people that put you there." And that has always stuck with me. I've never been one to mind people stopping by my house, calling me 7 days a week, You know, I'm these people representative, not just 5 days a week, not just a few hours, you know, 24/7. People have always felt comfortable about stopping by my house or stopping to see me and stuff. That is that's meant a lot to me, and I know it has been to the people that I have represented.
You've been quoted as saying that you are going to stay involved in politics. What shape do you think that involvement will take?
I want to continue to be a part of whether it would be a local race at home or a state race or a national race, but just being involved in wherever.
As the end of your term approaches, I can't help but wonder if it's something of a relief. A lot of the pressure is coming off. Or is it something more bittersweet for you?
Bittersweet, I've said it several times. I tell you what, there's gaining the seniority that I've gained through the years and the friendship that I have developed among people within state government, getting first name basis with individuals. And I feel like that there will be people that will continue to communicate with me at least for a while to try to be helpful, with all due respect to whoever follows me in the legislature.
You've spoken a lot about education and the need for it, and I wonder if some of that future political involvement is going to be helping young people become more involved in the political process.
I wish that we had more young people involved. It's so important, in my opinion, for young people to be involved politically, and they can play such an important role. I know there was a young fellow in our county that is Micah Spicer, and there's others that have enjoyed being involved politically. I never dreamed as a young person growing up, some that we've kind of referred to whenever I was their age, of serving in the legislature has been certainly a rewarding experience for me. And, you know, I mean, the thing about it is there's the opportunities that I've had to meet and work with on a limited basis with presidents, whether it be the Bush or the Clintons. But then there was the Magic Johnsons, the Muhammad Alis, and those individuals that you had an opportunity to meet and come by your office and have a little give and take and them share a little stuff with you. Just last year, I was invited to speak at the NAACP 30th anniversary, I believe it was, for the chapter at the Edible State Penitentiary. And you had two or three people there that were charter members and have to have some give and take with them and talk about the experiences that they've had within the walls of Kentucky State Penitentiary. I say that to say that from the top individuals of our country to some would consider the people incarcerated at the lowest level, they all have dreams, they all have desires, they all have wishes, and then to be able to have a voice for the people within my district, people that have known me through the years, it's just been so rewarding to me. My wife has mentioned to me several times because of stories that you can tell and stories that you've heard from others, why wouldn't you sit down and write or tell somebody those stories to write a book maybe about? But anyway, it's just been a tremendous joy, one that it's difficult for me to even express. But the people in my district have been so wonderful to me and my family through the years, and I appreciate it very, very much.
So you do it all again?
I do it all again. I wish I'd have got involved younger. These people that I've served with in the General Assembly, I can tell you, are some of the most dedicated, wonderful people throughout the state. And over a 20-year period, you know, many of those individuals become almost like family to you.
Second District State Representative Fred Nestler, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you for inviting me to come by.